Radio, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. And once again, I'm Martin, joined by the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. And Brett, always a special moment when we speak to a legend. We got a legend today.
Well, that's for sure. He's one of my favorite, the favorite people that I've talked to. He is an amazing songwriter. He has played in so many bands. The reason that we're having him back on is to talk about the new World Stage album, Tigress, Women Who Rock the World. He is Jim Peterick. Jim, how are you?
Thank you for having me on, Brett and Martin. My new best friends.
Oh, you know, I wish. I'm going to tell everybody that's the case.
Please do. A few years ago, and we had a great time, and now I got some new stuff to talk about, so thanks for having me on.
Well, you know, it is amazing to have you on, and the first question that I really want to ask you is just, how do you keep being so freaking awesome?
Well, believe me, it's not always easy. You know, well, thank you. I mean, awesome is, you know, something I aspire to. Just okay is what I usually hit. Not bad. Doesn't suck. But once in a while, I get lucky and I do an awesome. And those are the times you work for it. You know, sometimes I'll write 10 songs, 20 songs, and they're all just good. But good isn't good enough, you know? And then there's that one that rises above and holy shit, yeah. And those are the kind of odds you play. And unless you write a lot, you'll never find those gems, you know?
So then how much do you write? I mean, we're talking about with the new album, Tigress, there's 16 songs on here. I mean, you had an Ides of March album, plus you had the Pride, you know, the work with Toby Hitchcock. It's just like,
you got writing like stuff coming up with Chicago. You got stuff coming up with Brian Wilson. I mean, it's unbelievable how much you're writing.
Dennis DeYoung, two albums with Dennis, who lives literally three blocks away from me. And he's one of my dear friends, you know. It's funny, when Styx and Survivor were kind of neck and neck, we were actually kind of friendly rivals, you know, because their song would make number one and then our song would make number one. But now, you know, it's a level playing field, and we just have the greatest time writing songs together. You know, I'll go over there. He'll come over to my studio. He has a studio there, and we just have a blast.
That's actually funny, because 26 East, Volume 1 and Volume 2, some of my favorite music to come out in the last few years. So I'm hoping that you're going to be able to convince him that maybe to make one more or two more. I know he says he thinks this is his last one here, but I'm really hopeful.
I hope it's not his last. I don't think it will be, you know, but we'll see. I'm going to keep motivating him. Come on, Dennis. People need, you know how I convinced him to make this record, two records. He didn't want to make this record either. And one day I was having dinner with his wife and my wife, and I said, Dennis, the world needs your music. And that really resonated with him. I said, no, it's not about selling 3 million copies. If it happens, great. But really, it's about sharing your gifts. And that really resonated with him. And we started writing the first volume and didn't look back.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're here to talk about Tigress, though. I mean, that is the big new release coming up. So, you know, in your own words, tell us about it.
Well, Serafino Perugino, who I'm sure you, legend has it, he is the head of Frontiers Records, and a real great music fanatic. You know, I mean, I'm sure at the beginning of Frontiers, he probably lost money on every release, you know, but he kept doing it, and now Frontiers is one of the biggest labels in the world, really, which started as a teeny tiny label. My first album, you know, which was Pride of Lions in 03, they were just a teeny tiny label. Now they have everybody and new acts too. So Serafino called me and said, you know, Maestro, time for another world stage album. And I go, I'm not motivated to just turn around. We just did a world stage album. And then my brain started working. I said, how about a world stage all women? And he goes, interesting, you know. And he greenlighted the project. And then it was up to me. I go, oh, shit, what did I get myself into? You know, that means I've got to deal with a lot of girls, which could be worse. But, you know, I realized that, you know, I started calling a lot of people that I wanted to get on board. And, you know, I mean, I really wanted to get some big names. You know, I wanted to get Ann Wilson. She was busy, and some others that, you know, really had names, but no cigar, you know? So, but there was so many other women that I really wanted to reach, you know, people like, I've got a cheat sheet here. Kathy Richardson of Jefferson Starship, who of course is in Chicago, and she's just a force of nature. I really love Kate French, who was a heavy metal singer, believe it or not, until I tamed her. And Maureen Lacoste from Canada. Jennifer Batten, she had to be on this record as a guitar heroine, because, you know, when she was with Michael, I was watching Michael on this mohawk-haired diva was shredding like crazy. So I called her up, and she got on board. And, you know, she's such a star. And then locally, Kimmy Hayes, Nilly Brosh, who's a great guitar player from the West Coast. Lindsay Kent, Cena on drums, who is a kind of an internet star because she does all these videos, kind of instructional videos, where she'll play the drum kit and then she'll play every other instrument in the band. Well, I didn't need her on flute and, you know, guitar. I needed her on drums because she's just an amazing drummer. Leslie Hunt, Mindy Hebert on sax. Leslie Hunt is a gal from Chicago that I've been working with since she was 15. And now she's, you know, probably mid-30s and is good or better than ever. But Janet Gardner, I really wanted to get Janet Gardner from Vixen, because Vixen was one of my favorite bands, female bands or male bands. I loved Vixen and the strong vocals. And lo and behold, I got her to do it. And, you know, and she just, what I tried to do is not just write songs in general. I tried to target the songs to the artist. So when I wrote for Janet Gardner, I wrote Lazarus Heart, because I'm pretty good at this, where I'll take someone's style and I won't rip it off, but I'll use the inspiration of that style. And that's what I did with Lazarus Heart. And when you listen to it, is the album out to hear yet, or have you heard?
We got
the album
a preview
yet?
Copy, so we got an opportunity to hear it. And hear Lazarus.
So you
Heart.
Know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, beautiful.
You know what I'm saying with Lazarus Heart? That could have been Vixen, you know. And that's what I tried to do, is bring out the best of the band that they were in, and then just take it a little bit further into the adding my own personality a little bit. And there you go.
And my favorite track actually is, I mean, there's a bunch of great tracks. Against the Grain. I love that one.
Oh,
that's a great track.
Oh, well, Against the Grain, Larry Chiuda. That's hard to say. Larry Chiuda. that's a really nice track. And Rosa, she did that in one take.
Really?
One take. Yeah. She's just terrific. A lot of the gals, of course, we didn't really work in the same room. In this wonderful world of the internet, thank God. Although Kathy Richardson, she came over to my house in that room right there, and did the vocals live with me. And same thing with Leslie Hunt. But unless you're living in Chicago, like Kimmy Hayes, also, it was all vis-a-vis the internet and the new way they do it. But it worked, you know, and. You know, if one of the gals sent me a track, a vocal track that I thought could be stronger, I'll say, well, you know, it's really good, but give me another take, you know. And they were also very accommodating. And respected me enough to say, yeah, let me try it again. You know, so it all worked out.
Did any of the songs that you started, you thought, okay, it's going to sound like this with their vocals. I have to change it on my end to fit them. Did that happen at all?
Yeah, that did happen. You know, with the heavy metal artist, Kate French, I didn't realize what a heavy metal background she had, and my tracks were a little bit light. And when I heard that voice, I said, oh, I got to buck these up, man. You know, I got to keep up with her. She's amazing. You know, I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard her alter ego as a heavy metal diva, but she's I can't do it. Thank God. But anyway, and the only reason I knew she could sing different is Joel Hoekstra, who is my dear friend and member of, so many different bands. I think right now it's, who's Joel Hoekstra with now? Do you know? He keeps changing. What?
He's with Whitesnake.
That's it. He's with Whitesnake. He's been with them for about four or five years now. I should have known that. But he always does these other projects, like at Christmas for the, that one. Yeah. So anyway, he's the one that recommended a few of these singers, actually. I owe Joel a debt of gratitude, plus Joel and I co-wrote a few songs on this record. He said that, you know, Kate French also sings sort of normal. I said, really? I just had a blast making this record.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a blast listening to it. And I think that, you mentioned, of course, Lazarus Heart, which is probably my second favorite song. But like Tigress is my favorite song. Like just vocal by Kate French on that one is just so amazing. And Tigress. Wow.
Yeah, that track, it's jungle. It's primal, you know, and that's actually the second video, which isn't out yet. The music video, of course, is Prom Night in Pontiac, which it's really kind of cool because it's kind of a crossover, really. And I won't call it country, but it's kind of goes between country rock and rock. So I'm hoping that it might have some legs in Nashville even, you know. Stranger things have happened. A lot of great feedback on that. I think we're up to like 100,000 views on the video. So that's pretty cool.
That's definitely, it's a very fun video. But, you know, speaking of Nashville, you getting to play at the Grand Ole Opry, I mean, how awesome is that?
Well, that's hot off the press. You're the first human beings that I talked to about that, and because I just got home, you know. That was Friday, and it was all, you know, I was going to be out there anyway. On Saturday, I gave my talk to Leadership Music, which is this great organization in Nashville, to further education of people that are already in the music business. But it's like when you go to graduate school, you do your college degree, then you go to graduate school to learn even more. That's what these students do. And students, they're 40 years old, 35, you know, they've made it in the business, but they want to talk to the people that have been there, done that, and got the T-shirt, you know, and hear the stories behind that. So I was out, and I was already going to do that on Saturday. And a dear friend of mine who is kind of my mentor in Nashville, Cheryl Blackman. Cheryl is actually a guy, about 6'5". And he's kind of my mentor in Nashville. He said, man, if you're going to be in town, you know, I've got great friends, you know, at the Grand Ole Opry. Do you want to play? Yeah, definitely. So hooked me up with the head of their entertainment program. And before you know it, there I am on the sound stage doing the sound check with the best Nashville musicians in the world. And every one of them is like a star in the studio, you know. And here I am. And then the lights go down, and the who played with me? All sorts of great stars. But the headliner was not the Gatlin Brothers, the The Oak Ridge Boys. Thank you. It's a little band called the Oak Ridge Boys.
Oh, yeah.
They were the headliner. I was right before the Oaks, as we call them now. And they were right on the side of the stage watching me. I only did two songs. We had 4,500 people at Full House at this theater, at the Opryland Theater. And I started with Vehicle, told a little story about it, you know, and meeting my future wife, the whole story of how I wrote Vehicle. Everybody loves this story, and you know the story. I probably told you last time, but they love the story. And then I said, you want to hear this one? Yeah, one, two, ba-da-ba-ba-da-da, you know, and the people just went crazy. You know, half the audience was probably dyed-in-the-wool country people, and about half the audience were probably tourists from all over the country and the world, you know, because everybody goes to the Grand Ole Opry. And after that, I told the story of how I got what I thought was a crank call from Sylvester Stallone. Well, it wasn't a crank call. It really was Sylvester Stallone. And leave it to my wife. You know, I heard the answer machine. Hey, yo, Jim, give me a call. It's a nice answering machine you got there, you know. And I go, yeah, right. What else is new? And I keep sorting the mail, and Karen goes, who is that? I said, oh, you know, some joker pretending to be Sylvester Stallone. And she goes, you idiot, you better call him back, you know. So I did, very tentatively. This is Jim Peterick. Is this really Sylvester Stallone? He goes, hey, Jimbo, call me Sly. And so here's a kid from Berwyn, Illinois, calling my hero Sly. And, you know, he's got this new movie called Rocky III, and I don't want to use that Gonna Fly Now. You know, it's a nice song. I want something for the kids, something with a pulse. Can you help me out? I said, hell yeah. And he sent us the rough cut of the movie, and, man, we went to town. Frankie came over. We rented Betamax Pro and watched that thing. And so, yeah, some great memories. And I'm still coming down from the Nashville experience. It was just they hadn't heard the stories before. You have 100 times in this town. But it's always fun getting a fresh audience and telling those stories.
You got to tell us now about when you were here with Janis Joplin, because you had referenced it just before we got on the air. And I think that's got to be incredible.
Oh, my God. Well, we have a soft spot in our heart for Calgary. We were at the last stop of the Peace Train Festival. You know, we weren't actually on the train. We met the train at the end of the line because we had other shows. We couldn't do the train. But when we got there, you know, it was this immense outdoor arena and a huge stage. And I was really impressed with the production and the whole bit. This is the big time, you know. And we went on, and I think we killed him. And we really did. We ended with Vehicle, and everybody was standing up, and it was just the moment of a lifetime. And then Janis Joplin comes on and just makes, you know, she owned that audience. You know, she just owned the audience. She's swigging the Jack Daniels between songs and getting a little bit loose, you know. And she said, I'm looking for some guys out there with talent. You guys, if you got talent, I want to see you after the show. I'll never forget that talent line, you know. But she was bawdy. She was bawdy, you know. And and after the show, I see her kind of stumbling alone. And I go, what's going on? She goes, I'm in the hotel, and, you know, I don't know where. So I knew that she was staying at the same hotel that the Ides of March were. I don't remember which Calgary hotel it was now. It was one of the nice ones, though. Anyway, I walked her back. I walked her home to the hotel and kissed her on the cheek, and that was my brush with greatness.
Brush with greatness, right? Because everything else you've done hasn't been that greatness.
No, that was a moment to remember. I was so sad when she passed. But she was such a sweetheart.
Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah, I mean, amazing talent for sure. You know, do you think about like people like Janis when you're writing songs for something like Tigress?
Absolutely. You know, especially with Kathy Richardson, because she played Love Janis on Broadway. She was Janis. And when she did Piece of My Heart, as a part of that, you know, production, I got goosebumps. She did the show in Chicago, and Karen and I went to see it, and she's doing that Janis Joplin, you know, crap. How does she sing the next day, you know, because she was so gruff and so gravelly. She channeled Joplin. And on this album, you know, she, I just wanted her to be Kathy Richardson. That was good enough for me. But I know that Joplin's a huge inspiration for Kathy Richardson.
Now, you know, when it comes to all the, like, writing the songs, like, how for you as a man do you feel like writing a song for a woman works?
Well, you got to tap into your feminine side. Yeah, you know, you can't be too harsh and macho, and although some of the gals can pull it off, you know, I was just kind of thinking from a female point of view, and a lot of songs reflect that. I mean, I'm not going to write a cappella for Toby Hitchcock. It's too light, you know. Prom Night in Pontiac, it would not be right for Toby Hitchcock, for Jimmy Jameson, the late Jimmy Jameson, for Don Barnes. You know, you just have to gear it. You have to think of the woman that's singing it as you're writing it. Would she say that, or would she laugh at it, you know? So it was a very, it was a great exercise in songwriting. You know, I recommend it for anyone who writes songs. Try it from the other side. See how that works.
And then when you're writing songs, like what's kind of your process from everything? Because, I mean, even now you're in the studio, you kind of nip over, write something down before we started. It's like writing songs that, like, kind of all the time.
Yeah, I'm a serial songwriter. You know, people say, how do you write like 10 songs a month? And that's moderate. It's because I'm always sneaking it in, you know. And Karen will be making dinner, and I'm like, you know, I feel like a little bad schoolboy sneaking in the studio, and you know, it's kind of a game I play, you know. And then I'll call Larry if the song has any merit. Larry Millis, by the way, introducing him. You met him. Larry is the guy that created the Ides of March. He's the guy that recruited me when the band was still called the Shondells, and I've known him since third grade. But, you know, if I have a song that's that special, I'll call Larry into the studio and we'll start working it up. A lot of times I'll have him program a drum track because that's motivational. And then I'll put down a bass, vocal, guitar. Before you know it, you got something that sounds like music, you know. And at least you can evaluate it. And sometimes you think it's great. I think every song is great as soon as I write it. And then in about a week, you go, it's not so good, or it's okay. Why was I so excited about that song? But every so often, and I wouldn't let any song on this Tigress album pass unless it really lasted the test of time, which means about a month. If I still love it after a month, it's probably got something going for it.
Guess what grade I've known Brett since? The third grade.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's true.
I love that. And you still get along? You still talk to each other?
Well, I don't know. I'm looking right up his nostrils right now. I don't know how that is.
That's funny. Well, congrats. That's awesome.
Yep, I mean, we're still here, so there you go.
Yeah, we can't get rid of each other, no matter what.
Well, it could be worse.
It's That's you know, on the Tigress album, yeah, I think you mentioned it, but I think a lot of people think, okay, it's all female singers, and it is, but I mean, I think it's important to note, yeah, you have women on other instruments too. Like, obviously an effort was made to do that.
Right. I mean, at first, in a perfect world, it would have been all female musicians as well, but I couldn't always get the people I wanted when I wanted them. And I would call on my A-team of musicians, Eddie Breckenfeld on drums, Mike Aquino on guitar, different bass players that I work with. But the woman is very well represented on this record. There's a lot of tracks that are just the gals. And they just did an amazing job.
So is this the kind of thing that you would consider trying to do again, is to kind of, you know, do another World Stage Women album, or do like something like, has this opened up a new avenue of creativity for you?
Well, it has. And I think Serafina will probably want a male World Stage next. And but then I should be ready. Should be ready to do a Tigress 2, you know. And I would, this time I'm going to try to get, hopefully the word of mouth will get around and Ann Wilson will go, hey, that's a pretty good album, you know. A couple of the people that I really wanted to get but couldn't, you know. They're too busy. It's okay. Maybe next time.
Well, that's something we've seen a lot of, I guess, over the course of the pandemic, as we've talked to people and they've managed to do projects that they would never be able to do because everybody wasn't out touring. But I think, you know, I guess now we're starting to see a little bit more tours open up. So I think people are starting to become busier again.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I was on a panel. This is a little bit far-fetched. It's not really about the Tigress album. But there's a book coming out called Bring Music Home. And I was on a panel with some great people, including John Waite of the Babies, who are formerly of the Babies, who's one of my favorite singers of all time, you know, Missing You. And he and I got along great. We're staying in touch in that. And I would, it's great to have a new friend. You know, maybe he'll do World Stage with me in January, I'm hoping. But, you know, I wrote a song based on this book called Bring Music Home. And the book is about, I'm serious, about that thick. It weighs a bloody, I don't know how many pounds, 7 pounds or something. And it documents all the clubs that went belly up since the, you know, the 60s. And of course, the pandemic just really, man, so many clubs bit the dust during the pandemic and will never come back. Right. So that's what the book is about. And I wrote a song called Bring Music Home. And it's Kathy Richardson sings it. And I do, you know, the lower harmonies, and just had a conference call with the two gals who wrote the book. And they absolutely love the song. And we're figuring out how we can kind of market the two together. So just you've got a scoop here. So watch for that song, watch for the book, Bring Music Home, and I think you'll like it.
It does sound like something that we'd be very interested in, because I mean that's the thing. Like, I mean, music has changed so dramatically from when you started to where you're at right now.
Oh man, I know. I mean, you could you know, swing a cat and hit a club, you know. And in the song, I name check a lot of studios that, venues that are gone. Like when the Ides of March were just starting out, we used to, well, we had all had one hit record, well, minor hit in 66 called You Wouldn't Listen, but we'd go to a club called Beavers on Rush Street and see some great bands that later went on and became famous. And it was just a little dive hole in the wall. But I'll never forget Beavers. So the first line of the song, there was a tiny dive called Beavers on the east side of Rush Street for all the true believers in the beauty of the beat. And down the block, the Rush Up rocked. You know, and I name check all these different venues that have sadly passed. So it's a nice, I love to get aboard a mission like that. Bring music home. Let's appreciate what we had and maybe spawn some new clubs and new venues as soon as this BS is over.
It's funny, you know, you talk about that and the new venues and, you know, you think about rock music and where it is today. And I mean, if you go to a football game, or you go to a hockey game or whatever, what's the music they're playing? Is that classic rock? And yet, that's not what's on the radio, you know? And I can't picture the stuff that's on the radio being played in a football stadium 30 years from now, I think it'll still be the classic rock. You know,
it just lives with you. I'm hoping. You know, I was in a real sweet spot in the 70s and 80s. That music, it seems to be kind of here to stay. You know, I mean, when I was like a little kid, I wasn't listening to Jimmy Dorsey. You know, it was already rock and roll. Rock and roll has been with us for so long, and it doesn't seem like it's going to die out anytime soon. So I'm really blessed to be living where I lived. I'm going to be 71 on November 11th, and I'm feeling great, but I'm very blessed to be in this world in this time when rock and roll was king.
Well, and the fact that you are responsible for the soundtrack for so many people's lives. I mean, mine for sure. I listen to your songs so much every year. It's amazing.
That's really, really, really nice to hear. Well, I got to do a little piece of a song for you then, just because you gave me such a big compliment. You see it all around you. Got a loving gone bad. And usually it's too late when you realize what you had. My mind goes back to the girl I met long years ago, who told me just hold on loosely, but don't let go. If you cling too tightly, you're gonna lose control. Your baby needs someone to believe in, a whole lot of space to breathe in. It's so damn easy when your feelings are such to overprotect her, to love her too much. My mind goes back to the girl I met long years ago, who told me to sign loosely, but don't let go. If you cling too tightly to her, you're gonna lose her, you're gonna lose control. Yeah, 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 hold on loosely, but don't let go, no, no.
Oh, amazing. You know, it's funny. The last time we talked, I considered that one of my favorite podcast moments. You have officially just topped it. And
that's one of the favorite moments of my life. That was awesome.
That is so nice to hear. Thank you. It's good to have a good audience, you know.
Just amazing.
How long does it take you to write a song like that?
Well, let's look at that one. First time I got together with Don Barnes and Jeff Carlisi. And I didn't know him from Adam, really. John Kaladner set us up. John Kaladner, the famous A&R man with the beard and the in the wedding dress on the Pump video with Aerosmith. Dear friend, I haven't talked to him in a long time. He's kind of retired from the whole scene. But in his day, he made such a mark signing so many bands like, Survivor, Aerosmith, you know, on and on, just crazy, crazy. Peter Gabriel, and so he was a real, he had big ears, you know, not literally, but so what was the question?
How long does it take to write a song like that?
Oh, God, was that where it started?
Yeah.
Okay. You're right. So Kaladner said, you got to write with 38 Special. they need a hit. You know, they have, you know, they had Rocket Into the Night, which you co-wrote, and but now they need something new, you know. And he flew Don and Jeff to Chicago. And I didn't live in this house. I lived in LaGrange, Illinois. And we had this kitchen counter. And I sat in the middle. We had Don Barnes here, Jeff Carlisi there. And we just sat around shooting the bull. And Jeff sees a picture on the wall and says, "Oh, why do you have a picture of the Ides of March on the wall?" I said, "Take a look, far left. Who do you think that is?" "That's you?" "Yeah, that's me." "No shit." You know, that really broke the ice. And then Karen made nachos and we started feeling really good. And Don Barnes goes, well, I got a title. He was really shy back then. And I go, "Well, what?" He goes, "Hold on loosely." I go, "Wow, but don't let go." And I said it immediately. And I thought back of dating Karen and how she dumped me because I was going too fast. I got to step back and hold on loosely, you know. And so I was logging ideas in my head already. And then Jeff goes, "Well, I got a riff." And he goes, he says, "Kind of like the Cars." I said, "Yeah, man, that's awesome." So I become the alchemist in the room, you know, and I started going, "You see it all around you, good loving gone bad," you know, and it just started going and flowing. And before you knew it, we had a song and we demoed it up just real simple and dirty and sent it to Mark Spector, 38's manager. He says, "You guys have a number one record." And he was right. So that's how it was written.
Go ahead, Brett. Get magic like that now when you're writing songs with other people?
It just happened the other day. I was in Nashville and you know, doing those two shows, which I told you about. And I'm writing with this guy named Doug Johnson, who is the president of Black River Entertainment. And they have like everybody. They're really popular, mainly country. I think only country or country rock, country, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all one thing anymore. Country isn't country. Country is rock. And, you know, it's all blends. But he and I wrote a hell of a song. Just I can't tell you the title because I don't want the title to get out. It's half the song is the title. But 2.5 hours later, we had a finished song, and it was like lightning. And he's throwing out a line, I'm throwing out a line, and writing it down. We never did a really dumb recording on his laptop, and we felt pretty damn good about it. So it still happens.
It's awesome. I mean, it must be so exciting to feel that feeling. I mean, do you kind of gauge how good a song is based on like the lightning in a bottle feeling?
Well, you kind of do, you know, because you're not always right. But a lot of times the ones you're most excited about at the inception are the ones that, you know, really are special. The ones you have to slag and nothing's working and those aren't usually the ones that are magic, you know. It's the ones that just kind of flow, that like Vehicle. Well, Vehicle I wrote on my own, but it took the band and that arrangement to really bring it home, and the horns and the groove. And we were just making a copy of Vehicle because I'm actually doing Karen and I are going to Italy. And we're doing a wine tour with Mindy Hebert, the amazing sax player who's just incredible, has many albums out, Mindy Hebert, A-B-A-I-R. Anyway, we're joining her wine junket for the price of one performance, one night, Twist My Arm. So she and I and a really great band that she found in Italy are going to be... Mm-hmm. Going to be playing, and I just send her a version of Vehicle that we're going to be doing, and send her all the actual prototypes of the arrangements that we're going to be doing. So we're really looking forward to that. We leave on the 31st, and it'd just be good to get out of the U.S. and see things from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
Brett. No, I'm just, you know, I mean, you're staying so busy. I mean, we hear about what else is coming up. What can you tell us about, you know, with the what you've written with Brian Wilson and with Chicago? What can you share?
Very, very little. I could tell you, then I'd have to kill you.
Oh, well, don't tell us that. Well, tell Brett. Tell Brett then. He'll tell me and you won't know it. And you kill him.
No, the management is very, very protective of both artists, you know. And you'll hear it when it comes out, and I hope you like it.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
I have a feeling. Yeah.
This is the second time you've worked with Brian Wilson, isn't it?
Well, third. Yeah, well, in 99, I wrote two songs for that record. But then the big kahuna was in 2012. And in fact, it's a song that I wrote with Larry Millis, who's sitting right there, and Joe Thomas and Brian Wilson, called That's Why God Made the Radio. And that's, to me, an amazing song. I can say that because I'm only part of it. But, and then Isn't It Time, another song that Larry and I and Brian and Joe wrote, is also on that album as well. So very proud of that. I remember there was one of those promotions where they're selling the album on the TV, you know, Brian Wilson, Peach Boy. They sold 20,000 copies in 15 minutes time while we're watching the numbers go up. You know, that was a great feeling.
That's awesome. Are there any songs in your catalog you think are terribly underappreciated?
Wow, that's a really good one. Well, I don't know. You know, to me, Is This Love by Survivor is just a gem. In fact, Whitesnake kind of ripped it off about a year later. Is this love that I'm feeling? Mine's, is this love that I'm feeling? But no hard feelings. Really, guys. Okay. But that song is really special. And I performed that with Mindy in Italy. I think it's a kind of a, you know, I mean, it was top 20, top 15 maybe. But I think it's one of Jimmy Jameson's nicest vocals.
That's right. It keeps us all up at night. But
right. Well done.
You know the lyrics.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I say, when it comes to you and your work, I mean, it's been a long soundtrack and
it's a reflex. Well, you know, if we could wrap it, that would be awesome. Yeah. Is there any more I could say about Tigress? I'm just really excited about it. The one video is out, Prom Night in Pontiac, two lyric videos, one that's just about to come out. One's called Acapella with how do you say it? Larry Chiuda. Acapella. No, that's Shay Kane. I'm getting my Tigresses mixed up. And then the next one is, what's the next one? Oh boy, this is embarrassing. Prom Night in Pontiac. Oh, Tigress, your favorite, with Kate French. And that's going to be another really good lyric video. The kind of lyric videos they're doing now, they're almost like mini real videos. You know, it's not the old days where you get a funny cartoon with every... No, it's actually the person performing. It's me playing guitar against a backdrop. And it's way better experience than the normal old-fashioned lyric videos. So...
Very happy when you made a guest appearance in Prom Night in Pontiac and, you know, doing a little serenade in the moonlight.
Yeah, I'm just playing a little note. Yeah, that was funny. That was Larry's idea. Stick him in there. Okay, good.
I was wondering if we were going to see you during the video. I was like, where's
yeah.
that? You know? Yeah. It worked out. Well, thank you so much, sir. So, you know, it's been an absolute privilege. And when is Tigress coming out? Where can people get it?
Oh, great. So November 5th, it drops, as the kids say. And And that's going to be the vinyl, I mean, excuse me, the CD version, and of course the download version and the digital version. But then in mid-December, it's going to be the double orange vinyl. Yeah, Tigress, get it? So that's going to be incredible. And I've got my turntable warmed up and ready to hit that needle. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So watch for it.
Thank you so much for all
your knowledge, and it means a lot to me to talk to you guys, because it just does, you know?
Well, the feeling is certainly mutual, sir.
Great.
Everybody goes and listens to the album, because it's awesome. It rocks. They rock. You rock. And once again, we look forward to having you back on the show at some point, and keep performing, keep writing. Thank you for everything you do, and all the best.
I'm certainly going to do it, Brett and Martin. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys, and thank you. Rock on.
Rock on.
Bye now.
Bye now.